Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
For many families, getting a Christmas tree is serious business. Just ask the Parkers.
Okay, now here's a tree. This here is a tree.
That's a little skimpy in the front.
Well, you just put it in the corner.
Haven't you got a big tree?
Yeah. Hell, this ain't no tree. Now, here's a tree. This here is a tree.
Oh, well, the dog sees that one.
Don't you think it's a little large?
No, Christmas only comes once a year. Why not?
Why not?
A bit of the tree bargaining scene from A Christmas Story there. And yes, we did have fun finding that today. But this year, many people's why not might turn into it'll do. And that is thanks to a Christmas tree shortage that we're feeling this year, but that has also been plaguing the industry for a few years now. Here to talk more about the shortage, why it's happening, are two people who know their way around these seasonal firs. Seth Cranston is owner of Cranston's Christmas Tree Farm in Ashfield, Massachusetts. And David Morin is spokesperson for the Massachusetts Christmas Tree Association and owner of Arrowhead Acres, an event space and Christmas tree farm in Uxbridge. David, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here.
And Seth, it's nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
All right, so I got to start with the fighting words. I think it is important to ask right at the start, Seth, are you a balsam fir, blue spruce, white pine, Douglas? Which are you?
Definitely a balsam fir guy.
And how come?
The aroma, the needle retention, the just all around, it's the Christmas tree.
And David, are you also a balsam fir?
No, I'm a Fraser fir lover, frankly.
I love it that you two don't agree on this. And why do you love Frasers, David?
Well, partly because balsams don't grow very well in this part of the state. And then secondly, the marketing folks for the Fraser fir industry have done a fantastic job of convincing everybody that it's the best tree since sliced bread.
And do they smell good, too?
Oh, yes. They're right up there with the balsam. They're actually very close cousins to each other.
Well, there you go. Okay, now, fun aside, there are so many different types of Christmas trees, and we are hearing of shortages across the species. Seth, I'm going to turn back to you. Your farm sells trees wholesale to other farms and then directly to customers from your farm. We'll get to the why on this shortage in a minute, but first, just give us a sense of how bad it is. How bad is the shortage from a wholesale side?
From a wholesale perspective, there definitely is a shortage. I was getting calls starting in June from people wanting to buy our trees because they were not able to get trees from their regular supplier.
Is June really early, Seth? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
It is. The trees haven't even grown their new growth yet, and we haven't trimmed them yet. So typically, we will receive calls in August and September for ordering for wholesale. And this year, as I said, it was in June, which was really surprising. And we could not supply any new customers on the wholesale side, and we did have to cut some of our own wholesale customers in order to supply them as well.
So, David, you know, being in a role with the Massachusetts Christmas Tree Association, I'm trying to picture in my head the number of alarm bells that are going off, you know, ding, 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 ding. How worried, you know, we're in the season. Will there be enough for the demand in the area? How worried are you about this shortage? You know, is this a three-alarm situation?
Well, the shortage doesn't affect me at all. I'm a grower, and we've got 35,000 trees growing here, anywhere from 4 inches tall to 8 or 9 feet.
That seems like a lot. Is that a lot for a single farm?
No, I think the Cranstons probably have a similar number, but it's amongst the Massachusetts Christmas tree growers, I'd say probably on the larger side, but not the largest by any means.
So do you feel like the industry is healthy, and while people may be anxious about getting a tree, in the long run, this is going to be okay, David?
It'll be fine in the long run. The biggest problem was that there was a glut of trees back 10 years ago, and that's when the wholesalers cut back. And as a result, it's 10 years from the time you plant the tree until it's large enough to be marketed. So what decisions were made back 10 years ago are what's affecting us now.
And is climate a factor, Seth? You know, rain, drought, that kind of thing?
It definitely has an effect on the trees. We're seeing larger rainfall amounts in a given time period, which affects the smaller trees more than it does the marketable ones. But that will compound the effects, or could compound the effects, 8 or 10 years from now, when we see these large amounts of rain like we did this past July.
So there's a long tail on this, which I find really interesting. I want to note, most people don't grow trees. Most people aren't on the wholesale side. Right now, they're just thinking about purchasing a tree if a tree is something they have in their house. Earlier today, we spoke with Sandy Coovey. She is the co-owner of Chippin Farm in Bedford. They don't grow trees. Instead, they buy them wholesale. And she says the shortage isn't a myth. It's impacting their bottom line so much so that the farm actually considered not selling trees at all this year. Here she is.
It's been up to like 10 to 20% more that we've had to pay for Christmas trees. And with that small margin, we are not willing to pass that 10 to 20% on to our consumers. So we're getting a little bit of a hit on that.
David, are trees running the risk of not being affordable for the average purchaser this year, and will they be significantly more expensive?
Well, we had to go up $5 per tree here at Arrowhead Acres. But to be honest with you, I haven't had a single customer blink at the $5 increase. You know, everything that we do is reflecting the current economy. Labor has gone up, trucking costs have gone up, gas that we use in our mowers and our farm equipment, all that's gone up. So I think most of our customers came expecting there to be an increase in the price. And they're not coming just to buy the tree. They're coming for the experience. We'll actually cut the trees for the customers, but many of them insist on cutting it themselves just for the experience and for their family to go through the whole process of cutting it, yelling timber, and then hauling it out of the field.
So I want to stay with that for our last question, and I'll turn to you, Seth. So somebody cuts that tree down, they bring it home, 'tis the season, they may have one in their home. How do they take care of it and keep it safe?
Definitely keep it watered. If you can keep it in a cooler spot, it'll last a lot longer. But water is the main thing. Make sure it has plenty of water once it's cut and brought into the house.
All right. That is Seth Cranston, owner of Cranston's Christmas Tree Farm in Ashfield, Massachusetts, and David Morin, spokesperson for the Massachusetts Christmas Tree Association and owner of Arrowhead Acres, an event space and Christmas tree farm in Uxbridge. Seth, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
David, thanks to you, too. I appreciate it.
You're welcome as well.